The government has lost one of its most influential figures, a finance minister who introduced 10 budgets, managed the economy during the pandemic, and chaired the Eurogroup of finance ministers. But on Monday morning, Pascal Donohue will be in his new office at the World Bank in Washington, D.C. His party leader, Simon Harris, yesterday picked his replacement. And he chose himself. The Taoiseach immediately moves to the Department of Finance. Helen McEntee moves from Education to Foreign Affairs and Defence. And Hildegard Nocton, who we heard from earlier in the programme, gets a promotion to Cabinet, becoming Minister for Education. There's a bump too for Emer Higgins, who becomes Minister of State for Disability, a super junior role with a seat at the Cabinet table. And Sligo Leitrim TD Frank Feehan returns for his second stint as a junior minister, this time at the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. We'll get some analysis on all of that shortly. But first, our reporter Aaron McElroy went to Phibsborough in Pascal Donohue's constituency in Dublin Central to get the opinions of on his political career.
Anytime I've seen him, say, like on the television, he seems like a very genuine person.
You're the fourth now I've heard about it, so I don't know. I don't think any of them are any good, to be honest.
Well, I mean, country's awash with money and still in trouble, so I think that probably says what it needs to say.
Been a very good TD here in this locality.
He's looked after the area, has he?
Oh, he has, very much so. And we were hoping that he would be one day be Taoiseach, but I'm afraid other things have called.
He's done amazing, but definitely feel something has to change. And if you know, stepping down, well, he knows more than we do, so wish him all the best.
Doing the budgets and that, he's been fairly good.
Will he be a loss to the government?
With the way the government's going nowadays, I don't think any of them will be a loss.
It means now there'd be a by-election in the area.
Yes.
Would you be looking forward to that?
Well, I wouldn't, but it's inevitable. I mean, he cannot have it otherwise. And I haven't thought yet of who I might be voting for. We'll wait and see.
You know, the people have spoken and they don't want them in power. But they seem to find a way around it to keep themselves there.
I just find it very, very strange how it just keeps the next year, the year after, no change is going to be made unless this happens. And that's my opinion. A new government, yeah, absolutely.
Those are some people in Dublin Central speaking to our reporter, Aaron McElroy. Let's get some analysis now, and we can speak with broadcaster and Sunday Times columnist Alison O'Connor and also to Dan O'Brien, the chief economist at the Institute for International and European Affairs and columnist with The Currency. Thank you both for joining us this morning. Alison, if I can start with you, Pascal Donohue is swapping one DC for another, Dublin Central for Washington, DC. What does Fine Gael and the government lose when it loses Pascal?
We can only speculate, but I think it's fair to say that Pascal Donohue has been, I mean, it was mentioned there earlier, it's quite a thing to have delivered 10 budgets and to have been involved in government over that period of time. And I think he's seen and acknowledged as one of the real foundations, one of the anchors of the government, most particularly in a coalition government. He's very well liked, not just by his own colleagues, but also by those in Fianna Fáil. There's respect for him, and not just the politicians, but also the backroom people. I suppose we saw that yesterday, if you were watching the Dáil, in terms of his people on the opposition benches, the party leaders, while they went on to criticise government economic policy, you could tell that there was respect for him and I suppose a sense of regret that he was going. And I suppose in a more wider basis, it's the particularly in the times that we live in, he was a very, I suppose, sort of civilising, if that's a word you could use, always courteous, always spoke. It's been said quite a bit since we got the announcement about the importance of the centre holding. I think many people would say that never more so than now. So I think he will be, you know, his being gone from the Irish political landscape, from Irish public life, you know, that will be felt, and how that will affect the equilibrium of the coalition, I think will be very interesting to watch over the next couple of months. And I think they really will feel it.
How do you think they'll feel it?
Well, I mean, it's the first of all, it's his experience. It's the ten budgets. I'm sure Dan will address this in terms of his critics would say very expansionary budgets. And I know that IFAC would, the Fiscal Advisory Council have also come out frequently. And I know that in particular, I think he would look for himself at the Children's Hospital and how things ran away there as something that
do you think that his departure will have a destabilising effect on the government?
Well, I think yes, it will, because I think that's his personality, and I think he had real political seniority. He was seen as someone who could get on with everyone, and if there were rows, he was somebody who could, was sort of oil on troubled waters. And it's a very different dynamic now. The idea that Simon Harris is going to go in as Minister for Finance is going to be tarnished as well, and party leader. I think that's politically a really interesting decision, and it's going to be really interesting to watch how it works out, and I would have some doubts.
All right, and we'll talk about those in a minute. Dan O'Brien, if I can come to you. Pascal Donoghue, he was known by the moniker of Prudent Pascal, a voice for fiscal caution in the government, and somebody who made changes incrementally rather than with a big bang. Does he deserve that reputation, and what do you think his legacy will be?
Well, I certainly think that he was a voice for prudence within government, as all finance ministers must be. Were the outcomes as prudent as that title would suggest? I don't think so. I think overall he deserves a lot of credit. He's presided over an economy that's been one of the fastest growing in the developed world, and you can never take that away from a finance minister, whether it's luck or whether how much is involved in terms of the management of the minister himself. But that is where he is. So his record historically will certainly be strong for that fact alone. But the one area on the prudence aspect that I would contest slightly is the amount of money that's been taken in from corporation tax over the past 10 years, $160 billion. Most of that would be considered a windfall, and only about 10% of that was put into savings. So the big disappointment I would have over that time is just how little of those windfall taxes from profits of multinationals were saved. But overall, I think if one were to score Pascal Donoghue as a minister overseeing the economy, I think one would have to give him sort of 7.5 out of 10.
Alison, Simon Harris, as you said there, moved quickly to appoint Pascal Donoghue's replacement, decided that the best person for the job was himself. He is the most experienced minister in the cabinet, Fine Gael minister in the cabinet. The Irish Independent, on its front page today, describes that decision as a power grab by the tarnished, who it says moved to stave off any future leadership threat. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is one view of it. I just think the dynamic is going to be very interesting. I suppose what concerns me is the idea that how this sense that Simon Harris could have his head turned a little bit too easily. I referenced, for instance, the incredibly expensive VAT 9 for hospitality that was introduced at the government in the budget in October, very much at the behest of Simon Harris. I think that the idea that coming up to the budget next year, that the Taoiseach, the Fine Gael party leader, will be the one telling all the ministers, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you know, what they can and cannot have, will be interesting to watch that play out, while he's also at the very top of the pyramid, if you like, in discussions with the current Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. So, you know, he may make it work. It may be fine. But I think there's a lot of moving parts in there that could make it very difficult. And I think it's really, I suppose, what Pascal Donoghue had a lot of was judgment. And you were talking there about the prudent Pascal and how it could be said that maybe he wasn't that prudent. But I suspect someone else in there could have been over recent years a lot less prudent. And that's what would concern me about Simon Harris.
All right. And Dan O'Brien, do you have concerns? I mean, Pascal Dunne is somebody, I suppose, who's known for carefully considering things, for weighing things up incrementally rather than making sudden changes. Is that going to distinguish him from his successor, Simon Harris, who's perhaps a more political, more instinctive and maybe even a more reactive politician?
Well, I think that's a very speculative question. I think it is important to say that Pascal Dunne, who was also elected three times by his peers in Europe, of the 20 countries that are part of the Eurozone, he was president of the Eurogroup, and that was a particular honour. How advantageous that was for Ireland, question over that, but it certainly was a very important role for him in European politics. As I say, the issue around the Taoiseach taking over as finance minister, the one thing I would say is that his current job, he's party leader, he's Taoiseach, he was foreign minister, trade minister and defence, and defence is a huge issue these days. There were arguably too many jobs there, so that he is now less busy and can focus more on the job that he has now, it probably is a positive thing.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for speaking with us this morning. And Pascal Dunne, who will be on after this programme with our colleague David McCullough. Now, Alison O'Connor and Dan O'Brien, thank you both for speaking with us. It is 8:23.